The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 42. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the director of Radio City Playhouse, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Fred Collins. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, a word of sincere thanks for the many wonderful letters which you wrote to us about last week's broadcast, Note on Danger B. We're very glad you enjoyed it and very appreciative of your praise. However, we wish to emphasize again that Note on Danger B was fiction, not fact. The broadcast was based on a short story by Gerald Kirsch, which appeared in the Saturday Evening Post, and not only the characters themselves, but all events and plot material were imaginary. None were true or actual. And now our show tonight. We have with us two very fine actors making their second appearance on Radio City Playhouse. Louis Van Ruten is heard as Professor Gildea, and David Gothard as Father Murchison in How Love Came to Professor Gildea, Attraction 42 on Radio City Playhouse.
As a minister of the gospel in New York City, it is part of my job to help people in trouble. Any kind of people in any kind of trouble. More than anything in the world, I wanted to help one man. But he was beyond help when I met him. It is tragic, incredible, terrifying, but true. The story of how love came to Professor Gildea. I first saw Professor Gildea at a lecture he gave at the Botanical Society. I am interested in botany, perhaps because flowers are so close to God. I was struck by his brilliance, by his piercing blue eyes. But most of all, I was struck by the fact that here was a man so afraid of something that he couldn't conceal it, even on a lecture platform. Perhaps no one else in his audience noticed it. But in this strong and brilliant man, I could sense terror. He was living, moving, and breathing in a fear so desperate that it was driving him crazy. I was drawn to him. I wanted to help. Yet, I was afraid to intrude. I waited until the lecture hall emptied and he was gathering up his notes. Then I went up to him and thanked him for his talk. Professor Gildea, my name is Murchison. I enjoyed your talk very much. Very much indeed.
Well, that's very kind of you, Father Murchison. I'm glad you liked it. Yes?
I have a very strange impression that... Well,
that what?
That something is bothering you.
Have you?
I thought that perhaps you wouldn't mind if I offered to help.
I'm sorry, Father. I don't go to church.
That, of course, is your own affair. I merely felt it. I'm sorry. It's none of my business. I'll get along. But I did want you to know how much I enjoyed your...
Wait just a minute, Father.
Yes, Professor.
What you say is quite true. You see, I...
You are afraid of something.
Yes. Yes, I am. Could you have dinner with me tomorrow night?
Why, I think so.
Here's my card. It's apartment 1A, 5th Avenue, just north of 89th Street. About 7:30?
7:30 will be fine. I'll be there.
Thank you. And thank you very much for speaking to me. I do have need of somebody. Of something. I'll see you tomorrow night at 7:30. This is the drawing room. We'll have our coffee in here.
Ah, coffee in here!
What on earth is that?
That's Napoleon, a parrot I picked up 3 years ago. I was making a study of the imitative powers of birds. Say hello, Napoleon. Say hello.
Hello, hello. Coffee in here.
It's extraordinary, isn't it, the way they talk? I've never had much to do with parrots.
Well, sit down, won't you? Pitting will bring our coffee in a moment.
Coffee in here.
Certainly, with that parrot around, you'd never be lonely.
I would never be lonely anyway.
What a strange thing to say.
Well, I'm afraid I have a rather poor opinion of my fellow man, Father Murchison. The masses are stupid and dull-witted. Friends and enemies take too much time. Women are a bore. I'm quite happy to live alone. I always have. Have you never been in love? Why do you say that?
What is the matter with you? There's something. I can feel it.
Yes, I imagine you can. I can feel it, too.
What do you mean?
Here's Pitting with our coffee.
Will you have it on the coffee table, sir?
Yes, Pitting. We'll pour our own.
Will that be all, sir?
That's all, Pitting. Good night.
Good night, sir.
How do you take your coffee?
Black, please.
There you are.
Thank you.
Since you seem to be so observing, I'll tell you everything. The fact is, I'm very upset. 2 weeks ago, I was working in this room at night. It was quite late, about 11. I went to the door to get a breath of air. I stood on the steps for a moment, and I noticed somebody sitting on one of the park benches across the street. Would you mind if I showed you the bench?
You want to go over to the park now?
Oh, no, you can see it from my window. Would you mind stepping over here?
Well, not at all.
I just want you to get the exact picture in your mind.
Over here!
These curtains are dusty. You know this district?
Not very well.
What a beautiful night.
Does the traffic keep you awake?
I'm used to it. This is Fifth Avenue, as you know. That's Central Park. Now, do you see that bench? The bench against the wall.
Over there.
The one against the stone wall, just this side of the streetlight.
Yes.
Well, that's the bench where I saw it. Saw what? Let's get away from this window. Is your coffee cold?
No, fine.
I was standing on my doorstep looking across the street at that bench. Suddenly, I became aware that somebody was sitting on it. I became intensely interested in this person as though... very interested. I crossed the street intending to make some remark about the weather. I felt compelled to speak. And then when I got to the bench, the person had vanished.
Vanished?
Well, it wasn't there anymore.
It?
I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. When I saw the bench was empty, I was ridiculously disappointed. I felt sad, depressed. Then I turned around and came home. When I got to the apartment, I discovered I'd left the door open.
The door into the street?
Both doors, as a matter of fact. The door from the street into the hall and the door from the hall into the apartment. However, I wasn't gone more than 5 minutes, and I wouldn't think any more about it if it weren't for the fact that...
The fact that what?
That when I came back, I had a very definite feeling that somebody or something had come into this room while I was out.
And then had left?
No. Had stayed.
Had stayed?
Is staying. Is here now.
Oh, you're joking.
Do I look like I was joking?
You mean you think there is someone in this room now?
I know there's somebody in this room now.
But you can't see whatever it is.
No, I can't see it.
Then how do you know that it's here?
I can feel it. I can sense it.
But this is... Do you mean some sort of...
I don't know. Believe me, I don't know. I'm a scientist. I think I'm as sane as the next man. Look at me. Do you think I'm capable of making this up?
My dear Professor Gilder, it's so fantastic that I...
That you don't believe it.
I believe that you certainly have this sensation. But, oh, good heavens, man, you shake.
Yes, I am. I'm sorry.
Have you had this sensation for long? This feeling that there is somebody in this room?
Ever since that night.
For 2 weeks?
Yes.
Now, look here. Would you mind if I spoke very frankly to you?
Please do.
I think you're very tired, overworked, strained. You look strained. Why don't you take a vacation?
You think this whole thing is hallucination, that it's mental?
I'm sure of it. The way you live isn't natural. No friends, no social life.
Friends are a waste of time, believe me. There's nothing personal in this. I just frankly find most people completely unsatisfied.
Won't you take a couple of weeks off?
Well, all right, I will. I'll go to Cuba. I'll go to Cuba for 2 weeks.
And will you do something else?
What?
Before you go to Cuba, will you go to a doctor? I thought about Professor Gildy a great deal during the next 2 weeks. He had a strangely hard face tipped with a little black goatee. Everything about him was solid, cold fact. The scientist, the intellectual. I liked him. I admired his brilliant mind, and I made a point to inquire about his work. He had much to do with the discovery of penicillin and some of the sulfur drugs. He sent me a postcard from Cuba showing several very beautiful girls lying on the beach. I think he thought it might shock me. The night he returned to New York, he telephoned me. I was in my study. Hello?
Father Murchison.
Speaking.
Brett Gildea.
Well, welcome home. How was the trip?
Splendid, thank you. I got home this morning. Are you busy at the moment?
I'm working on my sermon for this Sunday.
Could you possibly come over here?
Right now?
Yes, right now, if you could.
Is anything wrong?
Yes. Something is very wrong.
Is it the same thing that we discussed?
Yes, only worse. I'm sorry to bother you, but I'd appreciate it very much if you could come.
All right, I'll take a cab. I'll be there in half an hour.
Professor Gildea's in the drawing room, sir. Just go right in. He's expecting you.
Thank you, Pitting. Well, so the traveler's returned.
Oh, it's good of you to come so quickly. Sit down.
Thank you. Why, but you're looking very tanned and healthy.
Before I left, I did go to a doctor. One of the best diagnosticians in the country. I'm in perfect shape.
Oh, splendid. I'm glad to hear it.
That's why I'm so upset.
You mean your visitor is still here?
Yes.
In this room?
Yes, in this room. He welcomed me here this morning.
But how? In what way?
Simply by being here, that's all.
Gildea, I really don't know what to say. I don't know what...
If I were in your position, Father, and you were in mine, I should certainly think you were crazy, the victim of some sort of nervous delusion. I believe I can prove to you now that there is something in this room. If I can't, you can take me to every psychiatrist in town. Take a good look at Napoleon.
Well, he seems the same as usual.
He knows we're looking at him. Do you notice his attention is fixed on something in that corner of the room?
Surely you don't think that a parrot can see this thing, too?
I'll prove it. I'll prove to you that Napoleon sees it. I merely sense it.
Oh, my dear fellow, you're trembling.
Yes, I am. Would you mind getting behind the drapes? I'll pull them apart a little. Would you mind?
Why, no.
Would you stand in here? It's a bay window. There's plenty of room for both of us.
What are you going to do?
I'm covering Napoleon's cage. This is a green baize cover I put over him at night.
Why did you cover the cage?
To remove his attention from everything in the room. Now, if you'd move over a little, I'd get in the window beside you.
Well, this is all very mysterious.
Shh. Now keep your voice down and keep perfectly still. You know Napoleon invariably watches anything that's moving. Oh, you can sit on the windowsill. Just keep very quiet. I'll reach out, lift the cover off the cage. There.
He seems to be behaving quite normally.
Wait.
What's the matter with him?
He's seen something. Look. See how still he's standing? He's watching something and listening. You see? The way his head tilts to one side. He's listening to something.
Why is he rustling his feathers?
Watch him. Please keep your voice down. You see? He's pecking at the bars of his cage. Watch him. See him moving over? Now watch him. In a moment, he'll put his head through the bars of the cage.
Oh, good heavens,
he's being stroked, Murchison. Something is stroking his head. I've done it too often myself. Look at the way he's pressing his head up against something. Look at him, he loves it.
What in the name of...
Shh, listen to him.
Hello, Gildea, surely you don't think...
Yes, I do. He's imitating an idiot. Oh. Shut up, Napoleon, shut up! All right, come on, Father. Sit down.
Oh, I don't know what to say. May I have some of this?
It's brandy. Help yourself. Well?
I can't believe it. I just can't believe
do
it.
Do you believe that bird saw something? Was being stroked by something?
Yes, I do.
What did it remind you of? The noises Napoleon made. What did it remind you of?
I don't know.
It's the slobbering, the horrible look of the bird, the sickening way he moved. He's imitating something that is mentally abnormal.
It suggested extreme sentimentality with feeble-mindedness.
Exactly. I'll have some of that brandy myself.
Oh, that's the most nauseating thing I've ever seen in my life.
You wouldn't think a parrot could do it, could you? Napoleon's very clever. I've studied him for hours.
Oh, it reminds me of something. There was a woman once, a poor sick soul that came to all my sermons. She never missed, and she'd always sit close to the front. All through the sermon, she'd smile and smirk and nod her head and make faces at me. She used to wait after church was out to shake hands with me. Once she reached up very suddenly and kissed me. I was revulsed and horrified.
She was quite harmless, but no mind at all. Even knowing this, I couldn't banish the sick loathing I felt when she touched me. God's house is open to all, but I'm afraid I told her not to come back. Napoleon reminds me of that woman.
Then you know what I mean. The actual physical nausea I'm experiencing.
You mean you are conscious of this visitor all the time?
Yes, all the time. At this moment, even... Excuse me for spitting. This thing makes me literally sick to my stomach. There's no brain, only the cunning of idiocy. Murchison, it loves me.
Loves you?
I know it. I have no reason to fear it. It loves me. That's what's so disgusting.
Look, will you let me talk to Pitting?
About this, he'd think you were out of your mind. I haven't told him.
No, not about this. I'd like to ask him some questions.
All right, anything you like. I'll ring for him. I warn you, he's as cold as a fish. Been with me 7 years. I don't know any more about him than the day he came. We're not the least bit interested in each other as human beings.
That's unfortunate.
You think he might be a better servant if I cultivated him?
No, I think he might be a better friend.
Oh, here he is.
Did you want something, sir?
Well, come in, Pitting. Father Murchison here would like to ask you some questions.
Ask me some questions, sir?
What kind of questions?
Pitting, while Professor Gildea was away, did anybody come in this room beside you?
No, sir.
You're sure?
Yes, sir.
Did you move Napoleon's cage anywhere while the professor was away? Did you take him outside, into the park or anything?
Oh, no, sir. I've never been interested in Napoleon.
His cage stayed right here all the time. He saw no one?
No one, sir.
All right, Pitting, thank you.
Is that all, Professor Gildea?
That's all, Pitting. Good night.
Good night, sir. Good night, Father Murchison.
Good night.
Well?
I'm baffled. Completely baffled. And I must leave. I have a sermon to finish.
Will you come tomorrow?
I did have an engagement.
Please come.
All right, I'll come.
I'll see you to the door.
Try to get some sleep. Take a pill or something. Have you anything?
Some Nembutal.
You look exhausted.
I am.
Is that door kept locked?
Yes, and so is this one to the street. You can catch a Fifth Avenue bus. There's lots of cabs.
Oh, I'll manage. I'll try to get some sleep. I'll see you tomorrow night around 9.
Goodbye. Good night. And thanks. Thanks very much.
Good night.
No. No. Get away. Get away! No. No, no. Get away from me. You hear? Get away. Pitting! Pitting! No. Don't touch me. Get away from me. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Pitting! Pitting!
Yes, sir. I'm coming.
Hurry, Pitting. Hurry.
What's the matter, sir? What is it?
You took long enough coming. You suddenly gone deaf. When I call you, I expect you to come. You hear?
I'm sorry, sir.
I'm getting sick of the way you act around here. Yes, sir. No, sir. Very good, sir. How are you, Pitting? A man or a machine? I'm sorry, Pitting. You won't understand this, but I felt something crush against me. I wish you'd sleep on the couch in my room.
Are you ill, Professor Gildea?
I don't know.
Is it the brandy, sir?
What? No, I'm not drunk, do you understand? You better keep a civil tongue in your head or you can go.
That might be the best arrangement.
No, look, Pitting, I'm sorry.
I really don't care for your manners.
All right, get out of here then. Pack your clothes and get out right now.
I will leave in the morning, sir. It is not convenient for me to leave here at this hour of the night.
Thank heaven it's you come in.
Well, where's Pitting?
I fired him. He left this morning.
Fired him?
After you left last night, I felt it.
Felt it?
Oh, sit down, sit down. Excuse me if I don't. I can't sit still. Last night, immediately after you left, I felt it brushed against me in the hall. I felt it squeezing against me with loathsome, sickening tenderness. I called for Pitting. I forget what we said exactly, but we had a row. He left this morning. I sat up all night. It never left my side. It kissed me. It kissed me from inside my mouth.
Gildea!
Murchison, you've got to help me. I can't stand it any longer.
Oh, Gildy, get hold of yourself. You can't break up like
this. It was dead this morning, and Napoleon was making those same horrible lovesick sounds. I grabbed the cage and took him to a pet shop on 3rd Avenue and sold him. I'm at the end of my rope. I can't stay in this house alone any longer.
You said something about a lecture in Boston the other night. When is it?
Oh, the day after tomorrow.
Why don't you go up to Boston now?
Oh, what's the use? I'm in no condition to lecture.
If this thing didn't go with you to Cuba, did it?
No.
Then perhaps you'll be free of it in Boston.
Could you possibly come with me? I know you're busy, but please come with me.
All right, I'll come.
Now, let's drive up. Can you leave now? My car's just around the corner in the garage.
All right, if you'll drive me home first so I can pack a bag.
Tonight by reminding you that parasitism and consequent structural degeneration are not all confined to animals. Many plants show marked degenerative characteristics. You're all familiar with the corn and wheat infesting chinch bug of the Mississippi Valley. This is a parasitic fungus. No. No! Get away from me! Get away and leave me alone! Father Murchison, help me! It's here! It's on the stage!
In an instant, the lecture hall was in a turmoil. Somehow, I got him back to our hotel. The next day, we drove back to New York. It was now impossible to leave him. He was a shattered and broken man. I moved into the apartment with him. I was afraid to leave him alone. The night after we got home, he thought he had the solution. It was suggested by something I said. We were sitting in the drawing room with the curtains drawn and a fire going. Gildea, you've always had a strange, unhappy attitude to love. You told me once that friends, enemies, and women were the greatest time wasters in the world. You've always fought against intimacy, against affection. Why don't you give this thing what it asks?
What do you mean?
Give it love in return.
No! It's sickening. If it was an enemy, I could fight it. But it loves me with its idiot's brain and fawning, sickening affection, horribly physical.
Can you feel it now?
Yes, it's pressing against me. In this chair.
Oh, Gildea, please.
I'd better go to a hospital. I can't expect you to live here indefinitely. I can't stay in this house alone.
Would you like me to pray for you?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Now?
Yes, now, right now.
Will you try to stop resisting people? You've got to open your heart to people, to friendship, to love.
But not to this. Not to this. I hate it. I hate it.
Gildea, stop it. Stop it.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
You're killing yourself. You've got to stop this.
I hate it. I hate it.
Oh, please, please, Gildea, control yourself. You've got to hang on to yourself. This is terribly hard on you. You've got to...
Wait. Murchison, wait. Wait.
What? What is it?
It's going. Go, yes. Yes, it's going. It's leaving me. Because I said I hated it. It's leaving me. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Oh, Gildea, for the love of heaven,
quick, Murchison, it's leaving. Quick, open the door. Quickly, please, open the door.
Gildea,
you've
got to...
Don't stand there staring at me. Open the door.
Gildea,
can't you understand English? It's leaving me. Open the door.
All right.
And open the other one, the one out to the street. Open the one to the street. Open it wide. Wide.
Blasted at what I had seen happen to a man. I half thought I might feel something brush past me, but it didn't. I looked out through the light drizzling rain, and there on the park bench, I saw a figure. I saw it. I saw it sit down on the bench, huddled as though it was crying. It was frozen to the spot. It was real. I had seen it too. I started to rush after it when I heard Gildea scream.
Ah!
When I got back to the room, he was dead. The doctor said it was heart. I don't know. As I look back on it, I can't be sure whether I saw this figure on the bench or not. At the time, I was sure. Now I don't know. I know that Gildea was sane. He was a brilliant man. I liked him. His death was a great loss to the world. As for this strange thing that came to him, that is hard to understand. But I think that it is dangerous to resolutely shut out love and friendship from one's heart. It is dangerous, and it is abnormal to love no one. There is, of course, no explanation.
I've just heard How Love Came to Professor Gildea, Attraction 42 on Radio City Playhouse. Professor Gildea was Louis Van Ruten. Father Murchison was David Gothard. The parrot was Frank Milano. Pitting was Eugene Francis. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. The story was written by Robert Hitchens and adapted for radio by Harry W. Junkin, who also directed the entire production.
This is Harry Junkin again. Next week, a tight, suspenseful story of an innocent woman convicted of murder, starring Bernard Grant and Mitzi Gould. Please join us next week at the same time to hear Motive for Murder, Attraction 43, next week on Radio City Playhouse. Good night, everybody.
Fred Collins speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.